Welcome to the Sermon Podcast by Church of the Nazarene. Stay tuned for the latest updates and new episodes by subscribing. Find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Join us live every Sunday morning at 9 on our YouTube channel. For in-person worship, join our English services at Harrisonburg and our Elkton campus at 9 or 10:30 a.m. or our Spanish service at our Harrisonburg location at 11:45 a.m. Explore to celebrate recovery every Monday night at 6 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in.
Good morning, church. It's good to see you all this morning. For those of you all that don't know, I'm Angela Cole. I'm on staff here at the church, and Pastor Kevin is down visiting East Rock this morning, he and Pastor Joe. So I'm grateful to be able to share God's word with you this morning. Last week, we finished up our series on Grace is Greater. Grace, the undeserved mercy and kindness of our God. His grace is greater than our brokenness, our guilt, our wounds, our despair, and our weakness. That was Pastor Kevin's message last week. God's grace is greater than your weakness. That was a new concept for some of you. You've been raised to pull yourself up by your bootstraps, right? You've been raised that you need to grow a backbone. I heard that a lot growing up. That toughness and strength are success. You may have been asking since last week's message, are they telling me that weakness is okay? Yes. The answer is yes. And yes, even greater, God meets you there. Yes, in your weakness, in the weakness you're facing right now, God will meet you there. In 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10, which has become a life verse for me, God says to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." Did you hear that this morning? God's power is made perfect in weakness. Goes on to say, "Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight. I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, he is strong, and I am strong." That seems backwards, doesn't it? Even crazy. And you're right. That would be crazy, except for Jesus. It would be crazy without Jesus. So let's pray this morning. Dear most gracious and wonderful Heavenly Father, Lord, as we proclaimed your praise this morning and we sang that we can speak the name of Jesus because you are the one who brings strength. You are the one who brings healing. You are the one who brings all that we need. Father God, you know who sits in this room this morning, and I've been praying for them this week, but I lift them to you this morning, and I pray that they will lean in, that they will lean in, and they will seek you this morning. And Lord, wherever we are weak, we will surrender that to you this morning and know that in our weakness, your strength is made perfect. We thank you, Lord, and we pray, God, that we honor your word this morning and that you would be blessed. In your holy name, amen. So what we're discovering here in 2 Corinthians is not only that his grace is greater and sufficient in our weaknesses, but we can also depend on his strength. Count on him to strengthen us. And I'm not talking about the kind of strength that it would require for me to lift this weight. Some of you may not be able to see it, but I have a really heavy weight here that I had to borrow from Pastor Sam. See, I don't have any of these weights at my house, right? And I could lift it. He even texted me and said, "Angela, be careful if you try to lift that." I said, "Don't worry, brother. I'm not going to touch it." So this right here is more my speed. This right here. And I realized that I asked a couple people on our staff if I could borrow a weight like this because I thought my son had one, and he didn't. He said, "Mom, I don't have a 5-pound weight." and neither did anybody on the staff. So I'm starting to wonder if I'm a lightweight this morning, but I'm being honest. This is more my strength. This is more my speed. But I might surprise you. When it comes down to it, I might be able to lift something. See, I remember when my husband, Michael, was remodeling our bathroom. You'll see a bathtub here. Remodeling our bathtub. We live in an old home, and he was trying to remove this old iron bathtub. And he called me to help him. And I will never forget getting into the bathroom and looking at this tub and thinking, don't you have a friend you can call? And he had thankfully broken it into some pieces, but still, it was dead weight. It was mammoth. If you've ever worked with one of these things, they're not made out of plastic, right? And so, apparently, I said this to him out loud. I said, don't you have a friend? And he said, you got this, babe. And I was like, I don't got this. And so, apparently, my attitude did not improve, and he finally looked at me, and he said, man up and pick up the tub. And I thought, what did he just say to me? That wasn't a good idea, was it, Jeff? No. And see, but here's what happened. His plan worked. The audacity that he had to request that worked because something kind of built up in me and I picked up the tub, right? I picked up the tub, the pieces of the tub, and I moved them to where he wanted them to be. The good thing is God's strength came through because I didn't push him down when I had that tub in my hand, right? That's where God's strength came in. But let me tell you, that only came from aggravation and frustration. And that's not the kind of strength I'm talking about this morning. That's not the kind of strength I'm talking about. I want to share something with you, and I want you to think about it this morning. Have you ever been placed somewhere or given an opportunity you knew was beyond your capacity? You're thinking, why am I here? Who placed me here? Why me? I don't have it. I have been, and I have been many times, and in the goodness and sovereignty of God, he has allowed it over and over and continues to do so in my life. He places me in places where he knows I will need him. I have had to face my weakness, and I continue. So here's some pictures on the screen, if you can look at those. Yes, I know. I wish you could zoom them in, but here's some pictures of me between the ages of 22 and 24. I was beginning my career as a long-term care administrator, and as you can see, I tried to cut my hair in multiple styles, thinking that it would make me look older and that I would fit the part. Jeanette and I laughed. I thought, one of those looks like the haircut I have right now. But there is a difference in how old I am right now and how old I was in these pictures. See, but let me assure you that respect was not earned and people were not fooled by these bad haircuts. See, I was given the opportunity to lead folks that were way older than me and had way more experience. The pressures of this industry were intense. The responsibility's huge. I had great passion, but I was weak. I had great passion, but it was bigger than me. Does anybody know what I'm talking about this morning? See, this first real job could have been a mess for me. It could have gone really bad. But I learned something really important as I faced my weakness in the eye. Pastor Kevin said it last week. The beauty of our weakness is that it reminds us to get out of the way, right? It reminds us, this isn't about me. I can't do this on my own. The Lord began to develop in me the truth that his grace was sufficient and that in my weakness, his strength was made perfect. In fact, his strength could only be made perfect in my weakness, as strange as that sounds. Through this, I began to deeply resonate with David, the writer of so many of our Psalms. He understood battle. He understood vulnerability. He understood weakness. He understood sin, and he understood returning to the Lord, our God, our Maker. And though no one had physically tried to kill me, as David faced, there were days, that I was so physically and emotionally broken, I thought it may be the end of me. Weak to the point of desperation. But because the Lord allowed this battle in my life, I drew closer to Him. I trusted Him. I cried out to Him. And the song that David wrote in Psalm 18 was one I could proclaim as well. I want you to join me there, and it will also be on the screen. David wrote this song as a song of praise and deliverance. And after the Lord saved him from the hands of many enemies and the very jealous King Saul. You can read more about that in 1 and 2 Samuel, and I encourage you to do so. But we're going to start in Psalm 18, verse 1. I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. See, David uses strong military language here to describe who the Lord was to him. He used five military symbols, and we remember that David is describing God, not himself. God is, in essence, what David was not, and that was true of me as well. He describes a rock, an immovable foundation that cannot be shaken. A fortress, a place of safety where the enemy cannot follow. A shield, a barrier between us and harm. A horn of salvation because God has the power and strength to save. The horn of an animal is a source of strength and successful combat. And finally, a stronghold, a place high above our enemies, a place only God can take us. This imagery became so real to me as I trusted Him to walk into the daily battle, and I saw His power and His hand. I saw His power in His hand. I saw Him as He showed up and met me there. Is He all of those things to you this morning? Can you call Him your rock, your fortress, your shield, even in this moment? Or is that something you need from Him? Are you willing to see it? His great strength working in your weakness. So most of you got a piece of paper when you came in. It looks like my weight right here. You'll remember my 5-pound weight versus Pastor Sam's. And there's a small prayer on that piece of paper. And what I want to invite you to do this morning is to write on that dumbbell the weakness where you desire to see and experience God's strength. Where is that place in your life this morning when you're like, I am weak and I need His strength to show up in me? I want you to cry out. And if you don't have one right now, I pray that you would just whisper a prayer to Him to reveal that to you as we continue to read this morning. We go on in verse 3 of chapter 18, and He says, I call to the Lord who is worthy of praise, and I have been saved from my enemies. The cords of death entangled me, and the torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. Is there anyone in this room this morning that would say, I'm overwhelmed? I am overwhelmed. The cords of the grave coiled around me, and the snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. From His temple, He heard my voice. My cry came before Him into His ears. Do you know that your cries do that this morning? When you cry out to Him, they reach His ears. Are you lifting the cries of your heart to the one who will hear you? He will hear you, and He will strengthen you. The Lord hears David, and He is helped. And it reminds me of Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Sometimes we get that wrong, and we think, oh, that means I can go over here and lift this weight and not injure myself, right? That's not what God's talking about. He says, I can live in what He desires for me. He will meet me. It's a Spirit-filled strength. Verse 20 goes on to say, the Lord has dealt with me according to my righteousness. according to the cleanliness of my hands, he has rewarded me. Oh, Angela, this is where it ends for me. I can't pray this part of David's prayer. I want to, but I have not remained righteous in his sight. This is a reminder for us to cry out. This morning is not a reminder of shame. This is an invitation. An invitation to salvation in all that he has for us. This is not a stopping point, but an opportunity of new beginning in him. If you know David's story at all, you know it is not a picture-perfect story of purity. In fact, we do think of all of David's heroics when we think of him. He killed Goliath, he fought many battles, all the things happened, but we know him just as much for his great weakness. But what did David do? He always returned to the Lord, knowing his weakness, and that the Lord was his strength and his salvation. We can also be blameless because of the Lord, because of his salvation and because of his strength. He goes on to tell us in verses 30 through 33, as for God, his way is perfect. The Lord's word is flawless. He shields all who take refuge in him. For who is God besides the Lord? And who is the rock except our God? We make other things in our lives. We try to make them our rock sometimes, but they will fail us. There is one rock. There is one God, and he is our rock. It is God who arms me with strength, and he keeps my way secure. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer, and he causes me to stand on the heights. He makes a way. He enables us in our weakness to go forth in what he's called us to do. See, this psalm depicts a man who by human standards is a warrior. But David knew that the Lord was the only one that could save him, strengthen him, and keep him. See, he doesn't promise to remove all of our obstacles. He doesn't do that. He didn't do that for David. But let me tell you, he can deliver us. He's capable. And sometimes he does. He can deliver us or he can see us through. See, he strengthens us during the battle and hardship. If we trust him, see, there's our action step. There's our choice. If we trust him, he allows us to grow in true knowledge of who he is. And this knowledge is fertile soil for our faith to grow. See what happens? That's relationship. That's relationship with the Lord our God. And when we trust him in the midst, he meets us there. And he grows us and he strengthens us. And then we get to know him better. And it's a continual growth in knowing him and growing in our faith. And then that strength strengthens us for the next time, right? So what keeps us from drawing on this power and strength? What keeps us from crying out to him? Why do we remain in utter weakness and struggle to try to muster up our own strength? Anybody in here do that? Anybody say, I got this, right? Why do we forget our rock? Why do we forget our God? There are two possibilities I want us to consider this morning. In the first possibility, I'm going to speak to three categories of believers in the room this morning. You have to decide where you are. There are those of you in the room that would say, without relying on God's strength, I wouldn't be sitting here this morning. Right? I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be able to have the strength to even arrive. And he has seen me through and strengthened me. He strengthened me in times of loss, in times of heartbreak, in times of betrayal, in times of sickness and famine, exhaustion, and brokenness. I want us to take a look at this video of someone who can testify to this strength. Watch with me.
November of 83, Heather came along. That was our first daughter. She loved doing dishes and folding laundry and anything she could do to help mom and dad. She was a very special girl. Sunday, October 22nd was a beautiful Sunday morning. We all got up, we went to church as usual, and that afternoon, Country Cover called and asked Heather if she would mind hostessing that night instead of waitressing because they had a call off. So that changed her work schedule. About 15 minutes after Heather left the house, we heard sirens and fire trucks went down past our house. Our other daughter, Trisha, who was 14 at the time, was sitting on the couch doing homework. She quickly said a brief prayer for anyone involved, that God would give them a peace and be with them, whatever this problem might be. She had no idea that she was praying for her own family. The day after the accident, a police officer came to the house with her belongings from her car. He said she had a Bible. He said it was on the passenger floor and it was open, laying down, face down. He said, I just closed it up and I put it in the back. There's glass in there, there's lots of debris in there. Later on that day, I got that Bible out and I started paging through, taking out the glass, letting things fall out. And I noticed a drop of blood that was sticking two pages together. As I carefully pulled the Bible, pulled the pages apart, I read Matthew 5:4, and that says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. I'm telling you, I felt Jesus sitting next to me with his arm around me. I hollered out for my wife. I said, come here. I said, do you see Jesus sitting next to me? Because I feel him. And I showed her the scripture. And I thought, that Bible flew through the air. And one drop of her blood fell on that scripture as those pages were flying through the air. That week we had a peace that passeth all understanding. People around us couldn't figure it out why we were so peaceful and so calm. Quite frankly, we didn't know either. I can tell you firsthand that God provides peace in whatever storm you're going through. I know that God's peace is real because I've experienced it and I've felt it. And no matter what you're going through, if you put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ, he will give you that peace in the storm.
See, that kind of peace is only available through Jesus. His perfect peace is our strength. Moving on, there are also those of you in the room this morning who would say, I'm fresh in my faith and I'm leaning in saying, tell me more. You will dive into his word, searching to make these prayers your own. You want to know him. You will trust him to be your strength and song, and you will desire him and you will find him. And my encouragement to you this morning is to trust him, dear one. He is available. He is available to you. Cry out. Cry out. And then there are those of you in the room this morning that would say, I've asked him into my heart. I know he is the way to heaven. I believe, but it stops there. See, there are those of us that miss out on God's strength because we leave his blessings on the table. We invite him to save us, but we forget there is life in him. We live on crumbs and forget the feast of his goodness. See, he doesn't leave us on our own. It would have been more than enough, beyond what's imaginable, that God saved us, that he sent his son Jesus to save us. But see, what happens is he didn't leave us to live on our own. He sent his spirit, and through him he strengthens us and gives us life until we make it home. Will you cry out for him this morning? Would you dive into his word and make these prayers your own? The second thing that I think this morning, the second thing that I think keeps us from knowing and diving into his strength is that we forget who we're praying to. We forget. We grow numb and to his power and his might who's in us. Anybody, does that happen to you? Because sometimes it happens to me and I forget. And I have to remind myself who of God, the who of his son. Let me quote someone that we love. Are you listening this morning? Are you listening? The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is in us as believers. That's available to us. I want to invite you this morning. We're going to sing shortly, and I want you to reflect on the power and goodness of the God that we have the privilege to cry out to. The God who not only saves us, but is intimately involved in our lives, in your life, in your life, in your life, right? In your life. I hope that beginning today, you will see your weaknesses, your brokenness differently. Allow him to show you himself strong in your life, to come through for you when you don't expect it. So now I'm inviting you to sing with us, and we're going to take time to sing, to recognize how awesome our God is, to remind us who we're crying out to this morning. And you're invited to stand, you're invited to sit, you're invited to kneel. These altars are open. There's going to be prayer partners up here with us to help you pray this morning. You're invited to bring that slip of paper and put it on this altar if you want to surrender it. Or you can slip it into your Bible as a reminder every day to cry out to him. Whatever works for you this morning, but be reminded who. Be reminded who is available for you. Let's continue to pray as we worship. Just like David, as he ran for his life, he cried out and found his strength in the God who saw him, the one who reigns. And he's available to you this morning. I invite you, as we continue to pray together, to come, to bring that weakness to the foot of the cross, to kneel at these altars, or to pray with these folks that are here and available to you this morning. Don't miss this opportunity to say, Lord, I need you. Let's continue to sing.
Thank you for tuning in today. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button to stay updated on our latest episodes. If you have any questions about our church or ministry, feel free to reach out to us via email at info@cotnaz.org.